Members, make your way towards the table. We'll be looking to start in 5 minutes. Thank you very much. Hi everyone. We will start the meeting now, please. Sorry for the delay. I will ask the operator to please begin the recording. Thank you, and let us know when that has been done.
Excuse me, this is the operator. One moment, please. Excuse me, this is the operator. This conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everyone, to our last GENETSO Council meeting of the Dakar meeting, and a first meeting for first regular meeting for the new councillors that have joined us here, and I'll take this opportunity once again to thank all the outgoing councillors for their exceptional years of service to the community, the GNSO community, and the ICANN community at large. I'm sure you'll all join me in showing our appreciation to them. And in welcoming the new councillors, I don't know if I should be congratulating you or commiserating, but I'm sure you'll be able to make your own minds up very soon. Congratulations also to our new vice chair. Wolf has been elected by the NCPH vice chair for this term. Well done, Wolf. And congratulations and a big thank you to Mary, the outgoing vice chair of that house. Who's left the room? Oh no, there she is. So,
And congratulations to you too.
Thanks. Thanks, Konstantinos. So as you saw maybe earlier on, if you've had time to read your emails, I sent a few agenda items, or discussion topics, I should say, for today's wrap-up session. Earlier on, there have been a few comments from people wanting to discuss other things. Before we get into that, can I just ask Glenn to do a very quick roll call, please? So just bear with us for a minute. We're getting the new list out.
Jeff Newman.
Present.
Ching Chow.
Present.
Jonathan Robinson.
Present.
Mason Cole.
Here.
Yauf Kieran, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line. Here.
Thomas Ricard.
Present.
Lanray Agé.
Present.
Zahid Jamil.
Present.
John Birard. Is John on the line? Don't think so. Brian Winterfeld.
Present.
And Osvaldo Nuovo.
Present.
Wolf Ulrich Knoben.
Present.
Konstantinos Fobildrake.
Present.
Wendy Salsa.
Here.
Mary Wong.
Still here.
Robin Gross for Rafik Damak.
Present.
And Carlos.
Here.
Thank you. I don't think I've left. Have I left off anybody? Oh, yes, I've left off Joy Lidicott because she's not here. And Alan Greenberg, our liaison, who's still our liaison. And
which I note is becoming a trend.
And Han Chan Lee.
Yes, present.
And now have I left off anybody?
Only me, Glenn.
You were right in the beginning.
Glenn, did you get Wolfgang?
Pardon?
Did you get Wolfgang?
Wolfgang and Joy Lidicote, I don't know if you're on the line. I don't think so.
Yes.
No. But since there are no votes, there are no proxies either. Thank you very much, Glenn.
Thanks very much, Glenn. So with that, I suggest if we can start going through the topics that I sent and the topics that people have commented on. There's a few... Ching.
Yes, yeah, sorry, because you on the I'm hearing that you are doing the agenda bashing, so I just like to jump in, make sure that we didn't have a chance for the AOB. Yesterday, so I would like to bring up the one character. Idea issue. I know Edmund is here, so I'd like to. And also the second one is perhaps the the geo-regional working group. I volunteer for that particular group and to replace Olga. I'm not sure. Do we need to verify that again, or this is done?
You can just volunteer, and perhaps we need. You're absolutely right. We should go to that item first. Apologies once again for having ran out of time yesterday during the meeting to cover that in the AOB. Apologies to you, Edmund, and perhaps we can address that now.
Okay. Sorry. Thank you, Stefan. And so on that particular issue, which is the single character ID and TLDs, I guess I just wanted to get the chance to flag it for the council. If you still recall, the council had a resolution earlier in May this year to approve the JIG report to allow single character ID and TLDs. The issue actually has been repeatedly brought up, in fact, in the reserve names working group, in the IDN working group, in the new GTLD recommendations, and every single time it has been the bottom up process has given it a green light to go ahead. In August this year, the board, after receiving the report, came back with a resolution that I guess from the JIG, seems like the rationale for putting it off further seems to be the rationale seems less than satisfactory, and the group I can characterize as being rather disappointed with the situation, and perhaps the board has more higher priority issues to deal with, but we'd like for the group is prepared to draft a response to the board on the resolution, asking for better rationale and addressing some of the issues that they raised. In part of the resolution, they've asked for it to go back out to ALAC, to GAC, to SSAC. The only missing AC is probably RSEC for another round of consultation, which we think it's really not, because it went through many rounds of public comment period, and the result has always been consistent. So I guess the flag to the council is that the JIG is preparing a response, and because it's a joint working group, we feel that it's best that the statement, after being drafted from the group, it will be passed back to the respective councils for the council's consideration before it is then, if the council agrees, pass that on to back to the board. So just want to flag it. We are aiming to have the statement drafted within the next couple of weeks so that it would fit into the cycle to allow the council to consider it in your next meeting. So we just want to raise this, and we'll try to circulate the actual issue as soon as possible.
Thank you very much, Edmund. Can I encourage anyone that has action items they want to submit, to post them to the list so that we can pick them up. Can I also encourage people who have responded to the topics that I sent this morning to also speak up here, because I may not have had time to see those emails, and I don't want to miss any points that are important to anyone else. Any comments or questions on what Edmund's just told us? Thank you very much. Wendy.
Thank you. I just wanted to take 30 seconds to report in from the WHO is survey working group, which had a small and compact meeting and invites people interested particularly in helping to define the technical components of the WHO is record to volunteer to participate in that group. It's not a policy development. It's a surveying the technical requirements of WHO is. So I'll send out a note to the list and would encourage you to circulate that among constituencies for additional volunteers. Thank you.
Thanks for that, Wendy. No further comments on that. So let's take the next item. If I can find my email, sorry, just bear with me for 5 seconds. Yeah. Thank you. So the next item is the letter that was initiated by Jeff, drafted or redrafted or edited by several of us. I just wanted to put the question to the council about the next steps here. Are we comfortable with sending the letter as is, and if so, can I do so as chair on behalf of the council after this meeting? Jeff and Alan.
So at this point, I don't think there's a need to send the letter after seeing their response. I think they answered almost all of the questions and also indicated very strongly to us that they preferred to work separately on this issue and then take the two separate results and compare them. I am very disappointed at their response, although it's not unexpected. If anything, I think there should be a communication between Stefan and Heather, the two chairs, as to, you know, we're a little disappointed at the fact that we continually reach out to you to work together, and the response we always get is, no, we want to work separately, but they do entertain those requests from the CCNSO, so I'm not sure why we're getting kind of that response. But in the meantime, I would suggest that we set up a little informal team or a mailing list amongst us to kind of work through the issues that we brought up the other day and develop a proposal.
So there's two proposals there. One is for three. One is to scratch the existing draft. Second is to draft a letter saying we're surprised or unpleasantly surprised at the lack of willingness to cooperate. Third is the one to create a small group to work on this issue. I have Alan next and Mary.
I'm not sure I got your detailed analysis, but I'll say what I was going to say, and you can try to work it in. I was pleased at the clarity in their new letter. I was equally displeased that they didn't say, and we have three people who are willing to talk to you to make sure that there are no further issues that are misunderstood. And I haven't reread our letter in light of theirs, so I'm not sure they have addressed all of the issues. I think we need to check to verify if they have indeed answered the questions we hadn't asked yet. We don't need to ask them. If there aren't any things left, we don't need to send it. I would not send a letter to the GAC saying we're displeased you didn't give us three names. That's a one-on-one discussion, I think, not a letter.
So on the first point, just to respond, I think they covered everything except for the release mechanism, which I'm thinking until we actually draft a straw man for them to look at, it's probably not worth sending a letter just for that. And on the second point, I understand it may not be a letter, but it should be a communication in some way between the chairs to to just say that, look, we're reaching out, trying to get your assistance, and it would be nice if we can get some volunteers, understanding full well the limitations that they have, that it would just be individual reps and not the view of the GAC.
Yeah, the fact that they did make it clear they're talking about they should be releasable and not absolutely reserved, I think makes it clear that we need to develop a mechanism. So, again.
So I'm happy to talk privately with Heather just to express that we are surprised that our continued efforts at cooperation do not get any response from them, if that's what the council wants. I need an indication of that before doing so, please. I have Mary.
I think it's a good idea that you speak informally to Heather, expressing our disappointment. I do think, however, there's also value in a formal communication, not along those lines, but one of the things that we probably, at least I think, hopefully speaking from my group, is that there are certain things that are unanswered and maybe requires the task force or working group or informal committee or whatever to work on. Two specific possibilities. One is that we make reference in our original draft not just to release but to the circumstances under which recognized and legitimate.
Sorry, can I just interrupt 5 seconds to ask the people in the back of the room who are very welcome to enjoy our lunch to do so quietly, please.
Or I could just shout. Anyway, so I think there are two specific things that we might want to communicate back even before we form this committee or group or whatever. I think one is to flag the issue of the recognized legitimate third-party uses, which is more than just release, in our view. The other is that in the original communication, and they emphasize this again in the latest letter, that it is a list of examples or illustrative protections under certain national legislation. I think we've been told and that this week that the IOC and the Red Crescent movements have done that research quite exhaustively. I think it would be very useful to whatever group that's formed to have that research or access to that, and I think we can ask for that sooner rather than later.
Thanks, Mary. Thomas.
2 points. Number one, I share the disappointment with the fact that the GAC is not willing to directly talk to us. And I think that it shouldn't be only for Jeff or Stefan to talk to Heather, but for each and every one of us who has access to GAC members to informally ask them and share the disappointment and maybe emphasize the fact that we need to reach a better level of communication with the GAC in order to avoid friction. The second point that I want to make is that there was the request on Sunday that we put in our comments and questions in writing. And as far as I can see, this still stands. And although a lot of points have been covered in the latest communication, I think it's also more or less it would be good for us not to be seen to be chased by the GAC with them putting our correspondence in writing and we reacting to it. I mean, a lot of work has been put into our letter, and I would submit it just to keep communications open at that level too.
Thanks. I'd like reaction on that suggestion. That's the first point that we were discussing, whether we should send the draft or not. On a personal level, I agree. I think we've drafted something, and even though the GAC has answered, we may want to send it. On the first point you made, each individual councillor in his or her individual capacity is obviously able to talk to the GAC people, the GAC reps or whoever they know on the GAC. It's a little different if I do so, and to do so myself, I would not do so unless the council feels as a whole that those conversations are appropriate. Yes.
I just get the impression that in the GAC sessions, there were a handful of GAC representatives being very outspoken. And I think the community gets the impression that the views of the GAC representatives that speak up are shared by the whole community. And in private conversations with GAC representatives, I got the impression that there is not unanimity on all those issues. And I think we just need to flag that and encourage other GAC members to be more visible in the GAC sessions too, so that this, you know, that there is a little bit more balance maybe.
What I heard of the GAC views was each time they were given, they were prefaced either by Heather or mostly by Heather, saying that they were very much a representation of full consensus. I heard those words, and I heard those words given to the board. So to me, when the GAC chair says that in a public meeting, that's what it means. So if we can take some action items away from this discussion, do we still continue working? Well, do I send the letter that has been drafted? Those in favor, raise your hand so I can get an idea of... Okay. Those are... You haven't seen it? I can't hear what you're saying.
Sorry, I'm just saying that I'm not on your mailing list, so I need to go to the website and take a look at it before I can say yes.
Okay. Well, this is obviously not ready to go, then. We'll continue online. The idea of me speaking privately to Heather, that seems to get approval from most people. Is that correct? Okay. And the creation of a small group, I don't see that as being a problem. I mean, it makes sense. Are we in agreement on that? In which case, who would like to lead that effort? Have I given you that job already?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay. So Jeff's volunteering. Thanks. Alan.
I believe not only was Jeff volunteered, but he also asked for volunteers and received a half a dozen of them.
So the next item is our work on best practices and what do we want to do with that now. So can I open that up for possible direction from the council, Marika?
Well, I'm not providing direction from the council. I just wanted to give you a little bit of feedback on the discussions that we had this week. As apart from the update we gave on Saturday to the council on this topic, we also briefed law enforcement in a session on this initiative. And we'll.
Sorry, I'm going to ask you once again, please. If you're in the room in the back, please try and keep the noise down. We are still trying to have a meeting here. It's a public meeting, and it's difficult to continue with the noise. Thank you very much.
S'il vous plaît, est-ce que vous pourriez, si possible, ne pas faire trop de bruit pendant la réunion si vous êtes à l'arrière en train de déjeuner? Profitez de votre déjeuner, mais essayez de faire moins de bruit si possible. Merci.
Okay. So we had on Saturday the update to the council. We briefed law enforcement in a closed session they had, and we had a public workshop on Wednesday on this topic. There is a lot of interest in the issue. We had quite good discussion, and also people thinking along as how this might work. I know the council also had some discussion, and I know there's some concerns about certain elements in the paper, and one option would be for the council to put it out for public comment. Another option that we discussed privately with some people would be to actually, if there's support for moving forward on this issue, to just move forward and create a drafting team that would look at developing a charter for such an initiative. And I think in that context, you might be able to address some of the concerns that you might have with the paper by providing very clear guidance and limitations and scope guidance on what such a drafting team or what such a working group would be tasked to do. Maybe seeing discussions that have been had with the GNSO and the board and the GAC and the board, there's obviously a lot of public interest in addressing abuse and action on those items. So possibly instead of first going for public comment, the fastest way to have some action on this might be by moving forward with the creation of a drafting team, of course, provided if there is interest and support from the Genocidal Council on moving forward on this issue.
Thanks, Marika. Any comments? Mason.
Actually, I have a question. I wasn't able to attend that session, Marika. What was the main part of the outcome of that session that the council should consider? Is it the creation of a best practices document that would be attached to registrars or all contracted parties?
No, really, the paper itself outlines a bit the questions that need to be answered, and the concrete recommendations coming out of the paper is basically saying that there is probably a need for the creation of two working groups. The first working group should be a genus or working group that basically defines the framework. You know, what makes a practice a best practice? You know, what is the definition of non-binding? What is ICANN's role? So really setting out that framework and really providing, indeed, saying, like, you know, what does it mean? Would it be attached to agreements or posted on the website? And a second working group that, you know, maybe would start a little bit later, but, you know, or in parallel, would be a more technical kind of working group or expert working group that really would look at practice and saying, okay, these are the ones that, you know, under the framework that we have defined here, would qualify as best practices. So that would be the idea going forward.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Marika. So the question is, do we look to start a working group on this? What are the next steps? I will leave that question, Jeff.
So let me pose the question to staff. Given everything that's on our plates, given the several issue reports that are still owed, what is the capacity of staff to actually, if we were to go ahead and form two drafting teams, which I think is a better suggestion than putting out the paper for public comment, for the issues that I talked about at that meeting and at this one on Saturday, what is the capacity of staff to actually do that? What would we have to put on hold? What could we not move forward with?
I think at this stage we're just looking at a drafting team, so I think it's more a question for the council, because I mean, we can, looking at Liz, and I'm sure we can support a drafting team. Indeed, of course, other projects going on, but as I said, many of those are now in staff hands, but will soon move back to the community for consideration. So,
and if I can comment, it really depends on how much the drafting team does itself. To the degree that you're going to, you know, start out saying, as has been the case in other working groups, that the group would do the heavy lifting and that doesn't happen, then no, we can't do it right away. And the same thing is true with support you might need from the Red Cross unless you want to defer anything else. We are, you know, we can't even start the issue reports we have right on the table right now, and we're still trying to figure out what the schedule for those is. So, no.
Thanks, Liz.
Can I just to clarify, we're talking about the best practices, not the IOs, the Red Cross stuff. But
and I'm talking about anything new, anything new, anything since the 6th of October that we've already just taken in. So on the 22nd of September, we had a new issue report. On the 6th of October, we had two new issue reports. I think I'm getting this right. Those exceeded our capacity, have exceeded our capacity. And so anything new beyond that, big, small, little, teeny, we cannot handle without taking something off the table or just delaying the schedule in some way.
Thanks, Liz. Once again, and as we have new councillors coming in that may not be aware of the pressures that staff are under at the moment, I think the reminder that Liz has just given is very useful, and I'm sure we'll have this topic come up again regularly.
I know you had said, Stefan, that you particularly wanted me to emphasize this when we talked about it on Saturday and not to create any ambiguity about the situation that we're in, so I hope I've accomplished
that. Yes, I appreciate that, Liz. Thanks very much. Jeff?
So in terms of things that are October 6th, just to understand, that were the issue reports, there's one on Thick Who Is, one on the three recommendations from register, or the four points of
uniformity of contracts.
And the uniformity of contracts.
Yeah.
I'll throw it out there. I think the best practices is a higher priority than any of those three, but that's my own opinion. You know, if we have to work on issues, we have to prioritize them, so I'll throw it out there. I would say of those four, I'd put the best practices document, given all the discussions of law enforcement and others, at least being seen to work on this by the security community is probably a higher priority than certainly ThICU is, and completely a higher priority than uniformity of contracts, which a lot of people actually voted against in this council, because it does take a very small percentage, as people know, to get an issue report. And given the way council voted, which was half the council voted no on the uniformity of contracts, if I were to prioritize them, and it's just a suggestion, I would say the best practices, I would say next would come the registrar requests, or you can easily flip those two. And then I would say the bottom two would be ThICU is and uniformity of contracts. I mean, if we have to choose.
Thanks, Jess. So let me also, I know some of you are playing catch up, so let me also explain that over the past year or more, the council has looked very carefully at prioritizing its workload. A group was formed that did not come to a satisfactory conclusion that we could use. We had a discussion, I forget where it was, but at one of our wrap-ups last term, where the council expressed its desire to see the leadership team take a firmer hand in maybe not prioritization, but at least sorting through the topics that were ones that the council would like to see tackled with more urgency. I actually think that situation has now moved on because of what staff is telling us, and the message from staff is very clear. We've got a full plate. Nothing new is going to come on it on our plate until we finish what we have. So that is something that we must all take into account as we consider this very important question of prioritizing our work. I have Wendy.
I wanted to fully support what Jeff said. I think we have heard from many quarters the importance of these best practices, and I think that even we in the non-commercial side who may have disagreements on how some of the details should be carried out think that it's important to the multi-stakeholder process here to show that ICANN and its GNSO Council are capable of taking these issues in and providing a way forward. So I would support the Council's leadership prioritizing this discussion.
Thank you. There's no further comments on this. I'll continue taking us down the order of topics, and just to let you know that I'm taking notes on action items out of this wrap-up, and I'll be sending those to the list. Jeff and Wolf, I'm sure, are noting this as well, so we'll bring that together and send that to the list afterwards. So the next topic we have is what to do with the JAS final report, which we, through a motion, voted to pass on to the board, but which we have not formally approved. And we heard through the weekend sessions that we had, and most notably the one we had with Kurt Pritz and the new GTLD team, that they would like some direction from the GNSO Council on that report. So once again, what do we do with that report, and what direction do we want to try and give staff?
Jeff. Yeah, I think I said this the other day. I just don't think the time is enough for the GNSO Council to have any kind of uniform position on this. I think I know the registries have prepared a statement. I believe the non-commercial stakeholder group has a unified position with their two constituencies. I'm sure others are working on it as well. I've heard some statements from the BC and others. So I think at this point, I think there's not going to be a unified council position, but more input from stakeholder groups, constituencies, the ALAC, and so forth. And I think that's actually appropriate. There's not really a policy issue before the council on this. So I think we just let Kurt know that any input's going to come from the stakeholder groups and constituencies.
Mary.
Jeff, I agree with that. I have one question, maybe that's a little indelicate, but perhaps somebody has some insight as to whether the board's going to vote on any of the recommendations this week. And I have a follow-up. But
put that question to staff, perhaps. I don't personally have any insight on what the board's going to vote on, but doesn't mean you know if it's a vote.
I wasn't really expecting that anybody would know, but I felt the need to ask because I agree with you, Stefan, that the board is looking for something from the council. And so if the best we can do, and I agree due to the time and the disparity of views in the community, the best we can do is maybe a short statement to the board to say that each constituency and stakeholder group has been giving feedback and will be as soon as possible, and we are very happy that our constituencies and stakeholder groups are taking that report seriously. I think that would be something that we can usefully send, even if it's two sentences by way of Kurt, to the board today, if possible.
Jonathan, and then Alan.
I had
Wolf first, sorry.
Sorry. Sorry, Wolf. I just want to make a quick follow-up to Matt.
Yes. Thank you, Stefan. Yeah, with regards to a comment from the council, which I also understand is highly requested by the board to get that. But it seems to me at this stage really difficult to be done. So the question for me was then, and we discussed this within our constituency as well, whether to some extent to certain points, recommendations, we could find an agreeable, let me say, combined comment from the council. Let me say, for example, with regards to the reduction of the fee, which is essential to the needy applicants, which to our view is essential. Whether this is, for example, agreeable, that we could indicate to the board that there is a common view on that from the council's point of view, that would help, I think so. On the other hand, I would agree to Mary that saying, okay, then come back to the stakeholder groups and the board will get from them some comments on the JAS report as well. Thank you.
Thank you. I have Jonathan next.
Thanks, Stefan. For me, so much of this seems to be about, in part, style as well as substance, and I think the critical thing that I hope we as a new combined council can start to achieve is being seen to be constructive, forward-moving, responsive, and all of the sort of the antithesis of some of the mischaracterizations perhaps or perhaps even at times relevant characterizations that we felt before. So following on from what Mary said, perhaps we could even say that the council is not in a, and Wolf may be right, there may be some threads we can draw out, but in addition to that, we could say the council has asked its constituent parts to respond. So it's seen that it's not, you know, we've taken the board's position. We aren't not responding to it, we just don't feel in a position to provide a unified response, but we haven't not acted on it, and the way in which we're providing that is by so there's always a sense that we are actually responsive, productive, and keen to assist the process wherever possible.
Thanks. So are we looking at drafting a response that I would send to the board?
I don't think I heard Mary suggest that. Wolf tried to tease out that there may be one or two key areas that we could respond on, but I'm not advocating either. I'm just advocating that however we do it, we indicate that we've heard them and we are responding either whether it's gone back out to the constituent.
If I take up your argument, which I think is a good one, of trying to look more proactive and more constructive, then the letter route does seem to be the one to take. In the past, we've had difficulty in coming together around such official correspondence out of the council. And I think the point you're trying to make, if I understand it correctly, is that we may have missed opportunities to give signs. It doesn't mean that the background wasn't there, but we may have missed an opportunity to show that. So if that's the case, then perhaps we should look at, you know, drafting a short letter on this. Alan.
I think a letter is advised. In other words, a letter saying don't expect anything more from council. We have requested that our stakeholder groups respond should they feel it was appropriate. In an earlier meeting today, someone mentioned that the board spent 5 hours yesterday in a workshop looking at jazz issues. Whether they're going to vote on it tomorrow or not, I don't have a clue. I'd be surprised if they don't have some sort of motion on it. Whether it's definitive or not, I don't know. But regardless of whether they vote on a specific topic tomorrow, they are very actively working on it because the clock is ticking to release of the GTLDs. So, you know, whether a stakeholder group has a week or 2 weeks or 2 days to respond, I don't know. But the window is really short. I doubt, actually, whether we can find any common threads which people around this table can all say, yes, my stakeholder group constituency will support that. I'm dubious we could do that. If we could, fine. But I think we need to send something saying, don't expect more from council, but this is where you should hear from.
Thanks, Alan. Thomas.
Let's just imagine the support program for needy applicants is not implemented prior to the opening of the application window. And let's then look at who might be blamed for that to take place. I think the GNSO should not be seen as a roadblock in that process. So I think it is important, and you know, as a new councillor, I haven't been following all the internal discussions that you had earlier on, but I think if there is some common ground to demonstrate in writing that the GNSO is in support of needy applicant support as such, i.e. when it comes to reducing the application fees, I think that would be something in itself already. While adding what Alan said, that you know, full response from all groups could not be achieved so far, and that there will be individual responses maybe at a later stage. But I think there needs to be a firm statement that this program shall move forward in its implementation phase.
Thank you, Zahid.
I think that's very positive, and we should say that there should be support for the jazz, and the fact that there should be underserved markets should be given support. But at the same time, we should also maybe mention that, and I've heard this from Wolf, and I know this is my constituency position, that if the jazz report is interpreted to lowering any technical standards, and if it isn't, that's fine. But if there is any interpretation by the board that it lowers any standards, then that should be avoided, because we don't want to have that, you know, create a threat, etc. So maybe we can couch it in words which are, you know, a little palatable to the whole of the council. That would be useful.
Thanks. So if I just summarize where we're going right now, we're going towards drafting a short letter, in which case I will call for a volunteer to start drafting it, if possible. And I know you want to do it. But let's hear Ching first.
I will just pass because Thomas and he covers me.
Fine. It will be very short, probably rather bland, and I'll try and do it this afternoon because following from what I said, I think it is important that we send something to them tonight. They are going to talk about it. My question is whether they're going to vote on it. So if I could ask my colleagues to, when they get something from me, to respond expeditiously, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
Thanks, Mary, for doing that. Sorry?
Just briefly. Mary, I would be happy to join you in drafting that.
This is Wendy. Rafiq is noting to us that he's trying to speak from the phone bridge. Do we know? Can we hear him?
Can we hear you, Rafiq?
Yes,
Esteban. I'm trying to speak since a while.
Can you speak again? We can't hear you.
Yes, it's Rafik.
Now we can. Please go ahead.
Okay, so wanted to say that that last motion about the CHAS final report, there was amendment friendly requested from Jeff that the GNSO Council to have the opportunity to send its comments to the board. So I think, so maybe I'm coming late now, but I think we need to send a letter. I'm not sure that we can have consensus about the points. I don't really agree with, for example, with Sahid's remark about lowering technical requirement, but at least to show some support to the working group work, and then to maybe to redirect the board to the comments from the stakeholder groups. At least the NCAG did that, and that's what I want to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Rafik. So with that, we have a path forward. Mary has kindly volunteered to help with that. Wolf as well, I believe. So we'll move on to the next topic, which is a discussion. I wanted us to be able to discuss the some of the topics that came out of a meeting that the leadership team had with the NOMCOM earlier in the week, and I sent the council a short recap of the notes that I'd taken from that meeting. And in that meeting, the NOMCOM made it clear to us that in their work at both selecting and assigning NCAs, NOMCOM appointees, to the council, they were now under obligation to have discussions with the GNSO Council. So it wasn't something, I mean, it's always something that they've wanted to do, but now it's something that they are under obligation to do, and if those discussions can't take place, then they would report that when they make their assignments. So I just wanted to touch on that, get some feedback possibly from you on how we should approach that with the NOMCOM. Wolf.
Thank you, Stefan. I would like to say in general that the whole process, how it worked in the past, it must have been a big problem, big issue for those who are coming in. For the new NCAs, I would say, because you know, if you are of the opinion you come in here, or you are already in, and you think about and think something is settled, and then it turns out that the process didn't work, which has been there was a process, but one of the major bodies in NOMCOM did not take care about that. That must be really critical. So that's one point. To say that very clearly, I learned from that as well. Right now, they are obliged to deal with that in the future. That means, if I understand that correctly, that the council in this respect shall not have any right or any obligation, well, to act on this in future. Just to accept what is coming on out from the NOMCOM. That's my understanding on that. So the only question for me is that then, if that is the case, so how we can then start to incorporate those who are coming in and to help them to find their places, their right places here. Also, they will be allocated, but they have to learn and how to educate them, to help them, to assist them to understand what's going on. So, and this is what we should think about. Well, how we could deal with them then, because I understand people who are not allocated to any specific stakeholder group or a specific part of the constituency, for example, they may have problems to find their positions herein. So my suggestion is, well, that this has to be discussed within the stakeholder groups. They should come up with some ideas, so we will take this up within our constituency as well. Think about that, and then these ideas should be put on the table before the next round, which is in 1 year. So we have some time, but it is not too much time, as I understand, because normally people are thinking when the event is very close. Thank you.
Thanks, Wolf. Any further discussion? Carlos.
Thank you, Stefan. I have nothing to say more than I said in my emails during the last 2 weeks. I think my position is clear. I think the whole community needs to know how is the procedure taken by NONCOM to designate every NONCOM appointee in each GNSO houses, and how will be the rotation. And maybe looking the past, the question is why our chair and vice chairs didn't ask the NONCOM for NONCOM appointee like bylaws said. Thank you.
I can begin to answer that. And we have the chair-elect of the NONCOM here, who I know wants to say a few words, but because you mentioned the leadership team, I feel I should address some of those points and add a bit of history and context to the discussions. The assignments for the NONCOM appointees is something that's relatively new because it's coming out of the new structure of the council. So we basically had to face this situation twice. And both times we have not had direction from the NONCOM, whom I believe have felt that the GNSO Council itself, working with the NCAs, were able to work out the best assignments that would suit both the houses and the appointees. And I have to say that in the past, up to this year, that system has worked exactly like that, and the appointees themselves have made their wishes or requirements known and have talked to the houses directly to be assigned. I think we were slipping into that system, and the clarifications that have been brought this year have meant that we are changing and looking at now sticking to the bylaws as the note from General Counsel said we should. Rob.
Thank you for the opportunity to perhaps clarify. My name is Rob Hall. I am, as of Friday, the chair-elect. I'll be chairing the 2013 NONCOM. Vanda, of course, chairs this one. This is a great discussion. Let me perhaps clarify some things. Steph, you're sort of right. The bylaws changed last year in respect to the nominating committee. So it's not that the previous nominating committees were ignoring it. The ATRT recommended that the nominating committee begin assigning to specific houses. In the middle of last year's nominating committee, the bylaws changed. The committee at the time decided to continue under the bylaws of when they were struck, which were in place at the last AGM, which is why the committee did not appoint to the individual houses. It became apparent through request to the General Counsel that we should do that. The General Counsel says, yes, the bylaws are in force now, even though they weren't when you started your deliberations, so it is your duty to appoint. So that is why we regrouped the last year's nominating committee, which ends its duties tomorrow. The new nominating committee sits tomorrow. Just to clarify, I think something Steph said earlier, those same new bylaw changes require the nominating committee to go out to the community, of which, of course, the GNSO is one, and ask its advice on what skill sets we should be looking at for the board members, and we read that as for all the members we appoint, because, of course, we appoint to the GNSO, the CCNSO, and the ALAC. So we have formally done that. You may be getting a letter from us to request it even more formally. I heard some comments about timing, so let me be perfectly clear on what they are. This is the first year that we will be appointing where we have knowledge before we ask for candidates to your individual houses. We're looking for what questions should we be asking, what criteria, and that can be on a house level. For instance, one of your houses may have different criteria for what it wants in its house than the other, and as a whole, you may have some comments on what the non-voting representative criteria should be. We're happy for those. We're desperate for those. Applications open in December, typically. We're planning on following that again this year. They close in April. So the time to get us feedback is between now and December as to what qualities we should be looking for, because we'll include it in the application process. These candidates will be picked at the Prague meeting, which I believe is next summer, and will be assigned to a house on the announcement when we pick them. So that's the timing of what we're deciding. So if you want us to consider criteria for candidates before application, the time is December. If you want us to consider criteria when we're actually picking them after we have the candidates, that time would be before Prague. And I can assure you with the new processes of the first year under the new bylaws as well, where there is a chair-elect, I have the privilege of serving in that. So I will be coming to you much sooner. So the old bylaws prevented it. We had a chair and past chair. The chair was not allowed to reach out to you prior to actually sitting. So the previous chair had to do the work, as Adam has done this year. I'll start the process of who are your candidates to the NomCom, what are you looking for, probably in the spring or summer. So you'll see it many months earlier. So that's all part of the ATRT recommendations. I think I've answered most of the questions you touched on. If there's anything else, I'll be happy to answer to the best of my ability. Thank you, Chair.
Rob, thanks very much for those great explanations. Alan.
Yeah, this doesn't affect the current situation, but just to get the history right, in the first round after the reorganization, the rules council adopted was if the three NCAs and the two houses could come to agreement as to how they were assigned by a certain date, that would be assigned as such, otherwise a random selection would be drawn. There was agreement, but not by the date, and a random selection was used, which incidentally changed radically the what they had come to an agreement on.
Thanks, Alan. Any further comments? Okay. We'll continue discussing the topic and seeing how we can interact with the NomCom. The next topic, I just want to just go down the list a bit, just make sure we cover some admin stuff that we absolutely need to cover as we move into this new term. First, perhaps, is the schedule for our teleconference meetings for the upcoming year. We tend to, we don't tend to, we set the schedule in advance. Glenn, I forget where we were up to in the current schedule. So we're up to January. Glenn will suggest a schedule for the next 6 months after that, and we are currently on a 4 week, one meeting every 4 week basis. We started last year with one meeting every 3 weeks. Our workload was very heavy. It got lighter as we worked through some of that. We then decided to have the meetings every 4 weeks, and that's what we're currently working under. So this is really just an information point. We don't feel the need to change anything, Glenn will just prepare the agenda or the proposed schedule, sorry, for the first 6 months of 2012. If we do feel that we need to change anything, then please make that known on the list at some point before the end of the year. Zahid.
I had a question, and I cannot remember which meeting this was, that we'd gone back and said, well, maybe we want to change drastically the sort of time zones that we use. And I think what happened was we sort of split it. So we kept the current mechanism, and then there was a different time zone slot that we started using. I just wondered that other new time zone slot that has been used, for me as personally, and I don't want this to influence anybody else's decision, is like 2 o'clock in the morning or something. I just wondered if that was working out for people or not, and you know, going back to the original situation, or just wanted to get people's views on that.
It's working out great for me.
Yeah, I'm sure, Stefan.
Now, a bit of history there. This was a little group, informal discussion group, that I had the pleasure of leading when I was vice chair. And it turned out by some advanced mathematical formula and calculations that the best times were the times that were the fairest also happened to be good times for Europe. But that's a pure... You know, it's a total coincidence. So I do sympathize. If we want to revisit the times, then, you know, that is by no means fixed. Let's put your question out there. Let's not try and answer it now. And if people have a problem with the current times, then, yeah, then we'll try and, well, please say so, and we'll look at it again. I think that it is important that people don't have meetings at 2 a.m.
I'd appreciate that, but I don't want to sort of let that influence everyone else's decision. I don't want that to become an inconvenience, but, you know, it would be nice if it's possible to do something about it. Thanks.
Well, we've lost the Australians, haven't we? Oh, no, we've got Joy now.
New Zealand.
Yes, so we still have... So we still have to... I remember that when, more seriously, when we looked at the times, because there was that Asia-Pacific, or more specifically Australia... now New Zealand, I think. Joy is from New Zealand. To get that kind of equality of things, we had to look at those times.
If it was just like a couple of hours or 2-3 hours earlier, just by that much, maybe it would make a difference. I'm just wondering. Thanks.
I have Marika. Yeah.
No, I was just wondering if it would make sense indeed to see where the new council members are located, to see if that balance of what is, you know, fair has changed. It might not have changed at all, but maybe there is indeed some other times that will... I see Glenn shaking no, so...
Well, no, I think it's a very good point, and perhaps we can let 2 or 3 meetings go by and see where we are, stock take, and Zahid, perhaps you can remind me of that then so that we can try and work out a better time for you. Mary?
Just tearing myself away from drafting to note that Asia-Pacific is more than just Australia or New Zealand. Thank you.
That's why I corrected myself, Mary. You were obviously drafting at the time, so you missed that. But then I said Asia-Pacific and more specifically Australia. So that's one thing. The other admin stuff that we need to cover is our preparations for Costa Rica, the next meeting, and traditionally we have one of the two vice chairs handle the agenda for that meeting. It is a big job. Jeff has done it this time. Once again, thanks very much for doing that, Jeff. And things like the differences in the new things that we tried yesterday in the Open Council meeting come out of that work. So it's not only finding time slots, it's also trying to make sure that the agenda for the whole week, including the weekend sessions, is as effective as it can be for both the council, the councillors, and the community. So really on this, I turn to my two colleagues to know who wants to do this.
Well, if I may, as long as this, no Spanish is needed in preparation for that, so I could do that.
Thanks, Wolf. So thank you very much for volunteering. I think judging by the looks that you were getting from Jeff and I, it wasn't much of a case of volunteering, but rather understanding what was being said, but well done.
But just to add, I didn't understand anything here. I still don't understand Stefan. So it's okay. Not understanding what is not a barrier.
I'm still working on Jeff's humor. There was also, yes, sorry, one other thing that came out of the presentations from the constituency and stakeholder groups that we had in yesterday's Open Council meeting. First of all, perhaps we might just take a few minutes to find out if the council thought it was useful. We heard from some of the constituency leaders that they thought it was possibly not the format that they desired. Not necessarily that the idea wasn't useful, but perhaps that the format ought to be changed. And one of the things that they suggested was that a list of questions or topics be posted or sent prior to that discussion, so that they could have a better idea of what was on the agenda. So I think a feeling of is that useful? What do we want to do with that? Might be good. Robin.
Thank you. Yeah, I thought that forum in the beginning of the meeting was not the best use of council's time. Unfortunately, it just kind of seemed like a lot of the speeches were becoming more commercials for their groups, and it just seemed to go on and on and on. And I think not that that's not appropriate someplace else, but you know, council has such limited time together that I would think it would be a better use of council's time to really focus more on policy work. And if something like that should go forward, I would really limit it to 3 minutes and literally cut the microphone off after 3 minutes.
Alan.
My suggestion may have the same net result. I found it rather silly that we were given their detailed agendas, including when they moved from one room to another, and when they stopped for bathroom breaks or whatever like that. I really found it useful, however, to hear what the hot issues were and any specific outcomes that came out of their meetings.
Zaid.
Thanks. I think because it was new for everyone, and I have to be honest, our stakeholder group hadn't, or at least my constituency hadn't really realized this was going to be necessary until actually the last moment, and you know, a day early or so. And so that's why maybe you didn't get sort of substantive responses necessarily. And so it's just a new thing. So to that extent, maybe next time you might find much more sort of cogent substantive responses. Again, I agree it should be limited to a certain period of time. But it seemed to be useful for newcomers who were going to attend the meeting to get them interested, to understand that the council wasn't just the council, but there were other groups involved in this. So maybe that's useful.
Thanks very much. Ching.
Thank you, Stefan. And when I saw this new arrangement, I thought this is because of the AGM, then we will have this type of forum. So I'm just putting your thoughts here. Are we going to do this, I mean, every time, or this is, I mean for the AGM? I mean, I thought this is, I mean, useful to understand what the each constituency or each groups are doing, or maybe for example, I mean, so every AGM we can have set up a 1 hour or 1 hour and a half session for the updates, and for the other public meeting we can go through the current format. So just my 2 cents.
Thank you, Ching. I have Constantino.
Yes, just very briefly, having had some sort of a double role in this meeting, I thought that as a chair and as a council, it's very interesting to circulate the substantive issues that took place during the constituencies, because people are not able to attend those meetings, and a lot of very important stuff is being discussed in those meetings. And we all surprise when we hear that there is common ground, so people might find common ground on topics. So I would focus on the substance rather than tell us what you did and limit it as well as much as possible. Thanks.
Thanks very much. Jeff.
Yeah, one of the purposes was that usually at these meetings, when you go to the weekend session, you have the constituencies or stakeholder groups say, well, we haven't discussed that yet. We're going to discuss that on Tuesday on Constituency Stakeholder Day. So the thought behind it was perhaps we could emphasize you know, those topics where we couldn't provide a definitive opinion on Saturday or Sunday at that meeting, so that everyone knows, okay, this is what the group discussed, and this is, you know, this is what we said Saturday, but now we're at this place. And perhaps what we could do is,
wow,
someone's trying to drill into here. Perhaps
or out of
or life. Out, yeah. So, I mean, I know people like advance notice, and I don't know how people would react to this, or the stakeholder group chairs would react to this, but is it possible to develop the list of topics during the weekend where we've heard from people, look, I still have to check with my stakeholder group or my constituency, after that Saturday, Sunday, then develop the list of a few topics that we want to hear back on, so that they can go into Tuesday knowing that that's what they're going to report on Wednesday. I don't know if that makes sense.
Quick follow-up from it's Jonathan Robinson. Quick follow-up from Jeff and what others have been saying here. I mean, it sounds to me like we could potentially continue with this as long as we kept it substantial. And there's really two bases on which that might be substantial. One is what's really exercising or challenging that particular stakeholder group or constituency, and the other is, as Jeff just suggested, areas where we might see clarity. And in fact, when in our dual meetings with other groups, the GAC or the board or whatever, that's quite often the format that we structure around. It's the board would like you to know this, what would you like to know from the board? And in a way, that two-way composite should be able to be something we can work with and yet still keep it tight, because I think that's clearly the challenge, is not making it seem like some kind of long-winded report back, but rather these are the three things that really seem to be challenging us, and by the way, we've heard from the council that you'd really like to know about these two or three things. Thanks.
Thanks, Thomas.
I very much agree with what was previously said, i.e. that we don't want to hear repetition of agenda or bio breaks, what have you. Still, I think that this is an excellent opportunity for the various groups to specify what they're actually working on at the moment. That's one thing, and where they need community input. So talking about outreach, I think this is an excellent opportunity to advertise what policy work is underway and bring to the attention of a broader audience where community input is required. And I also would like to support the idea that the topics that are being discussed on over the weekend, I think we should give homework to the various representatives to report back on Wednesday. And if that takes place, I don't mind it to be extended from 3 to 5 minutes, as long as there's substance.
Thanks. Mason.
Well, speaking as an immediate former chair of a stakeholder group, I think I agree with what Jonathan said. I think it can be useful and substantive, provided expectations are set about what the council needs to hear. I'm not sure I had a clear enough understanding of what the council was looking to hear from the registrars before I was asked to give an update on our day's activity. So perhaps the idea might be that when we ask for updates from chairs, we do so, give them the opportunity to do so, maybe only if there have been significant outcomes that would be of interest to the council. Maybe that would be a good use of time. Or take the board format that Jonathan suggested. I thought that was useful as well with the board. But just a way to focus the time more sharply.
Okay. Any further discussion on this? We're in rapid danger of running out of time, so I'll once again send a few main points from this discussion, and Wolf, perhaps you can take those on as you plan for the agenda. One of the topics that we need to discuss today, though, is the cross-TLD registration scamming and domain kiting issue. I'm sure you all saw the response that we got from SSAC to our query sent from the SSAC chair, Patrick. And so now we need to consider what the next steps are for the council following that response. Marika, do you want to say a few words before I open it up? Sorry, putting you on the spot a bit, but you are the expert.
Yeah, so basically, yeah, we asked the ASIC, and I think basically ASIC said, look, you know, we don't think that's within our capacity or within our role to do. So basically, the question for the GNSO Council is there something the GNSO Council would like to do itself? Should the GNSO Council just acknowledge that this point in time, there's nothing really that can be done, because I think that the RAP recommendation specifically asks for monitoring of the two issues. But at the same time, I acknowledge that, of course, at any point in time, if new data becomes available, anyone can bring those issues back to the GNSO Council again for review or consideration, or if there's any kind of other option that should be explored in order to have someone or someone, something, monitoring those kind of abuses.
Zahid.
So I'm not a technical person, but I had some ideas provided to me, and I'll be honest. I would like to sort of see if there's a possibility, one, for us to go back to our constituencies and sort of chew on this for a little while and come back and see what we could do here, number one. Number two, having said that, there were a couple of ideas, and I just wanted to see if staff could come back and let us know if there was a way to have this happen. Not saying that this should happen, but is this an option even to discuss, which is to do a deep dive with, you know, CCTLD members and see how they've addressed this issue or they'd like to address this issue, one. Two, if it's possible for ICANN to create an incident request on internic.net to begin tackling this issue so it starts collecting the data. If it's possible. I don't know if it is going to be possible, but see if there is a mechanism to do that. And then, obviously, the next logical step is having registrars include that as an incident category in the help or something else. So if we could just ask Marika to come back with some sort of response as to is it even possible or et cetera, that may be helpful, and then we can take it back to our constituents to see what positions we want to come back with.
I can definitely look into whether that's possible, but I think it doesn't, you know, address a broader question, because even if we would start collecting data, you know, who's looking at that, who would be analyzing it, who would be taking decisions, and what would we be asking, what are we asking for? Because specifically on the, cross-TLD registration scam, you know, I don't think it has a set definition, and I'm not really sure what we would be asking people to submit. You know, we did have some good discussions, I think, with the CCNSO on this particular issue, and also on the seems closely linked as well to the fake renewal notices. And I know there have been some offline exchanges or discussions, I think, especially with Byron, who had some ideas as well. And as you know, there is this drafting team going forward on the fake renewal notices to request information from the registrar stakeholder group. So I don't know if anything that in that discussion might as well relate to this specific issue or might come up. But I'm happy to check on that, but I think still, you know, there's this broader question of, you know, what do you want to do with the data and what are you exactly looking for?
I think that's fine. I'll go back to the consistency and see what we can do as far as what to do with the data once we have it, you know, or who's going to monitor it. But in the meantime, if it's even operationally possible, if and I don't want to burden staff, but if there's, you know, a quick response or an informal response or something, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
Anything further? Thomas?
Just one point. It struck me quite odd to read in German press in one of the most prominent technology blogs that the registrars had given in to law enforcement requests and that there will be the requirement for accredited privacy service and such. So press is already reporting to the general public that the wish list of law enforcement will be implemented. And I just wanted to bring this to the attention of this group. Maybe there have been similar experiences in other countries, but I think we need to be utmost cautious and need to step in if necessary to explain what the true story is behind it.
God, and I thought we were going to end on time. Jeff.
Wow, after that lead-in. Just a question. Have we gotten clarification from Kurt as to what he meant when he told the GAC that the registrars would address the high priority items? During yesterday's meeting, there was a discussion as to whether Kurt meant high priority in the very generic sense of whatever is high priority, or whether, as the IPC had interpreted it yesterday, whether it specifically meant the high priority listed items in the RAA, whatever that report was named, and I screwed it up yesterday, but that's what I meant. So there's two different interpretations, and I want to make sure before we all leave here that we understand exactly what Kurt meant.
Thanks. If staff also can chase Kurt up, that would be... Oh, you have an answer.
So I spoke with Kurt yesterday. The answer is the negotiations will not be focused specifically on only high-priority items. The high-priority items, as defined by the community, will be addressed, but not exclusively, and certainly won't be limited to the law enforcement requests either. So I'm quite certain the press is already starting to get it wrong, and expectations are incorrectly being assumed. But those are the facts as we have them.
Thanks. Anything further? In which case, looks like we will be able to end on time. Mary?
Yeah, I'm doing this on purpose, Stefan.
I know.
No, it's actually just to say that I sent a very rough draft to Wolf Ulrich, and hopefully if we can get working on that, hopefully something will come to all of you as soon as we can about the letter to the board.
Thanks again for doing that and taking that on so quickly. That's great. Thank you very much. So all that remains for me to say is to thank you all for your participation this week. It's once again been a pleasure to work with you all. And safe travels home, back. Avoid the strikes if you can, those of you flying through Paris. It's the first time that France has ever been on strike. Never happens normally. And I hope to see you all very soon, and we will be talking again at the next teleconference meeting. Liz?
Had a last-minute thought that we should ask about the issue report on the RAA and what the council would like us to do. Should staff continue working on that issue report? Has it been superseded by subsequent events? If the answer is yes, we should proceed. Are there any specific instructions for how we should proceed, given what's subsequently been discussed?
Yeah, that's a good point, which I keep on forgetting about, so thanks for making it. Perhaps we can take that offline now, unless there are responses that people want to give right now. Seeing no hands up, we'll take that.
Can I just ask, would it be fair for staff to then assume that until we get more insight, we should hold off on starting?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know if that'll be seen very well.
I'll say so.
Yeah, I'm not sure how politically that'll be seen if we just stop working on those items. We already voted on an issue report. If we just stop working on it, and while the registrars are talking to ICANN, I don't know. I think it's worth a discussion, because we did as a council approve it. And if we get to Costa Rica and there's not a resolution to that, I don't want to be in Costa Rica in front of the GAC asking, will you guys approve to do an issue report back in October, and you haven't done anything. So I don't know.
Alan.
I would suggest we defer. We ask staff to informally ask staff to defer until the next council meeting, and we can bring it up there formally.
Wendy?
Yeah, I was going to suggest even that we make a statement that we request staff to focus their time on assisting in progress rather than on drafting the issues report, if there's some way to phrase that to say that motion is being enhanced by stopping this work or by putting this piece of work on hold.
Any further comments?
Mason? Well, after our experience with the GAC on Sunday, I don't want to be in front of the GAC in any kind of mood other than a good one. But I was a proponent of this motion as a way to get binding enforceable policy put into place for registrars, but I guess there are a couple of options we can take. One is we can talk informally with staff about the likelihood. I believe it probably is likely that the three parts of the registrar's obligation in the motion will probably be addressed anyway in negotiations. So I'm certainly in favor of saving the council and staff work. There's a part of the motion that asks for information from law enforcement. As a registrar, I would still like to have that information. It'll inform the things that law enforcement wants us to do. Maybe there's another way to get at that information. So how about if the registrars discuss with staff the best way to go about handling that, and maybe there's an opportunity to take the motion and the work off the table.
Just to add a word of caution, we heard a GAC member, in fact, the GAC basically say that they were confused by how we would actually enforce that against the law enforcement. So just keep that in mind. I'll just mention that. Thanks.
Yeah, we're not looking to enforce anything on law enforcement. It's merely an information request. I mean, I would like to make it known to the council that very often information is requested of registrars that we simply don't have. And this is a case in the reverse. There's information needed to fulfill the questions posed to us by the law enforcement community. We're simply asking for information. If they decide they don't want to give it, that's their prerogative.
Anything else? In which case, we are adjourned. Thank you very much, and see you all very soon. Operator, this session is now closed. Thank you.